A very warm welcome to the Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church's third church camp. The Lord has been good, preserving and keeping the church thus far. As we begin this church gathering, we notice that there were those who were with us last year who were in our fellowship, are no longer with us. God has taken them home to glory. They are in a better place. Elder Dr. To Siang Yao, on the 25th of November, he was with us during our first and second camp, together with his dear wife, Mrs. Jessie To. Thank God for keeping and strengthening Mrs. To. It is our prayer that God may continue to keep and strengthen her. Also, there is Sister Ivy. We all know Ivy. We have spoken to her. We have spent time with her. She was taken home on the 31st of December 2015, the last day of last year. So this year, in January, we were at the wake, and the funeral was on the 2nd of January. We fondly remember her. She was with us at the Carlton Hotel. You remember? She came and had lunch with us. She ate a lot. And then most recently, there is our brother James Lim. God has taken her home, or taken him home, after 6 months of fighting with cancer of the lung and the liver. We want us to see that for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, death is not such a frightening thing. But death begins eternity. And our life here on earth, in this camp we are going to study and understand that is simply a temporary sojourn. There is a perspective that the Lord wants us to see. Well, these who have gone before us, they have safely arrived in their heavenly home. And because they are the children of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. The theme of our camp is the Christian home. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have three homes. Our heavenly home is our eternal dwelling place in the heavens. This is our family in heaven. We want us to understand and see a perspective concerning this eternal home in heaven that God has for us. That it is the permanent home. And then while we are here on earth, we have our church home. This extended family bonding together because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we also have our family home. Father, mother, and children. Father, mother, and children held together by blood ties. Well, we thank God that God has brought us all into this earth through a particular family. And we are going to dwell upon the teaching from God's word to help us to see why is it that God put us into families? Why is it that God put us together in such a manner? Have you ever wondered why? We want us to see from this camp a biblical perspective of our earthly life. That our earthly life is our training ground for our heavenly life. This life on earth is but a training ground for a better life. And so, you know, there are those who go through life and said life is so tough, so difficult. But if you were to look at it, you know, in perspective of eternity, you'll find that this life is but a temporary sojourn, and there is a purpose in which God has put us together. Our earthly life is to be lived, the Bible says, as pilgrims and strangers to a better life. Now, it seemed to us that we cannot have a perspective of the eternal life to come. But God wants us to know from the way we are living our lives today, modeling eternal life in the future. And our earthly life is not all there is to life. The Lord wants us to see a bigger perspective, a big picture. Right? If you compare eternity with this 60, 70, 80 years on earth, what is it? It's not even a little speck, not even a little sand. So the Lord wants us to think and consider about life. Right, so that we, you know, have something to look forward to, this eternity, and growing old, having our bodies, you know, becoming weaker, isn't something that, you know, is altogether discouraging. But there is a perspective that God wants us to see. Oftentimes, our earthbound perspective causes us not to see and understand the true meaning and purpose of life. And we cannot understand and see unless the Maker would reveal it to us. And the Bible did reveal it to us. And I would like us to see it during this camp. The perspective, a perspective that God has for us, in order to help us to be biblically oriented, to understand who we are, where we are going. And we are going to God's Word to help us find orientation, direction, and wisdom. Turn with me to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. It gives us a perspective about this earthly life. But it brings us also to an eternal perspective, which we shall show you. Psalm 127. I shall read to you, or we shall read together. A song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quaver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Well, here is an earthly perspective of family life that God has given to us. As you think about life, which all of us are inadvertently placed, right, in our families, the question that arises out of our hearts and minds is, why did God create the human race with a family system? Have you ever wondered why you are placed in families? Interesting question, isn't it? Why do we have a heavenly father? Why is it that you have an earthly father? Why did God give us children? The angels don't procreate. Well, the animals procreate. But the animals has a soul that is so temporal that when the animal dies, the soul is gone. But for mankind, how is it that our soul, the Bible tells us, is eternal? It doesn't end when life ends, right? So the Lord wants us to know a perspective about life. The Lord wants us to see and understand a little bit more. That's why we, in this camp, will help us to answer these questions by this various 8 messages. Right? Tonight we speak about the institution of the family. Why is it that God put us in families? Very good question. Right? You can't avoid it. Right? You can't avoid it. But why? Have you ever wondered? Why is it that God put us, you know, with a relationship between the husband and the wife? And why is it that God gives to us children? Right? After, you know, a man and a woman come together, they form a new family. How is it that, you know, God begins, parenthood begins, and children comes? The family altar, we get a little bit closer to what goes on in the home. Why is it that the believers in Jesus Christ have a family altar at home? Why is it that they have family worship? Why do they come together to worship God? And conflicts in the home. How come there are conflicts? And how can conflicts in the home be resolved? How can peace come to the home? A very good question, isn't it? You're going to look at all these things. The house of God. As we said here, that we not only have a heavenly home, we have a church home. Right? This is the house of God. God places us, right, families, the family units, into a community of families in the local church. Why did God design that relationship in the local church? Right. And finally, the final family union in heaven. Right? The Lord wants us to be able to understand and see, right, the final union in heaven. Right? The Lord wants us to be able to have a perspective to understand, right, that relationship. So we read from Psalm 127. Right? Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. You see, God put us in our homes, and He also tells us that there is a way of building that is empty. The word vain means empty, meaningless, right? Futile. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. Now, these two words here, except, right, is the conditional if. And it is what we call a condition of fact. Meaning that, in truth, if God is not part of your equation in the building of your family, life, in the building of national life, it is going to be a futile, disappointing effort. Now the house is a symbolism, representation of individual homes that make up a city or a nation. And the family is the basic building block of human society. And Israel is a nation that is created by God to enact God's plan. Israel is a nation raised by God to be a testimony to all the nations of the world by her individual families. And we all know how the nation of Israel departed from God. And in the fullness of time, God raised the local church, consisting of faithful Jewish men, and placing us into this church family structure, right, that also makes up of the individual families. Now the Lord wants us to see and understand a perspective. Right, this psalm was written for Solomon. It was written by David. It's the father's instruction to the son, to let the son know how to build a home and the nation according to the blueprint where God would bless. And in the final equation, you will think of it, this is all that matters. So the Lord wants us to see this father-son relationship between David and Solomon is a picture of a father and son relationship that we will have for eternity in heaven. Do you realize that? In heaven, you know, you are no longer be husband and wives. But there is only one relationship, the father and children. We are all children of the Heavenly Father in heaven. And the Lord wants us, while we are on earth, to have this family structure in order to understand that relationship between the Father and the Son and the Father. The father-son relationship. Very interesting. It's the prime relationship that you would see in heaven. And what do you mean by the word father? The word father means the source or originator of. Right? You call someone father because he's someone who brings you about. Right? It is by him that we come about. So when you call someone father, it means that you are from him. He brings about your existence, right? So we all have an earthly father. So we know, right, by that relationship we have with our earthly father, right, what that relationship will be in eternity with our Heavenly Father. You see, now it's temporary, but then in eternity, well, it's going to be forever. And that is the relationship that we will be in. And God wants us to see this. Right? And in order for us to see this, he places us in that relationship, in that family. Okay. So the first function of the Father we see is in creating us. Right? He's the one that brings forth the child. You cannot come about until you are produced, right, through your Heavenly Father. And that's the concept that we receive from our existence from the Father in heaven. So the earthly Father is a shadow of the heavenly Father. You see. God formed man and put it into existence. Right? Psalm 2 verse 7 says, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathe on his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, man is special. All right, the Lord tells us that we came because God breathed life into us, or God created us a living soul. But by our relationship with our earthly Father, we have an understanding of that relationship that God has for us in eternity. Creating us, right? The invisible part of us. And so by the earthly Father, we have a physical existence. By the heavenly Father, we have an eternal existence. And the Lord wants us to know and understand this perspective, because ultimately, this is the relationship that would last forever. And from the earthly Father, we know that we cannot come about without someone producing us. Similarly, we can understand that without God, we cannot have a soul. God will not, we will not come about. Right? We will not have our existence. So by that earthly modeling, the Lord shows us, right, how a perspective of where we come from. And also, this father-son relationship is special. Now, why is this father-son relationship special? Because God tells us that of all the creatures that were made upon earth, only man is made in the likeness of God. And the Bible tells us that, you know, we are made in the likeness, right, of our Father. Right? In Genesis chapter 5, verse 3 says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image." Ah, you see an earthly perspective of that relationship. So the Lord wants us to understand and see, right, a correlation. Right? And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." And God places us to have dominion over all His creation. It's very interesting. And we shall be speaking more about it tomorrow, concerning the makeup of men. Why is it that God made us in this way, placed us on this earth? We are special. Right? We are the only one made in the likeness of God. And God says that He created man in His own image. Ah. So the Lord wants us to see and understand, right, not only of our existence, but of our likeness. Okay. So, when you look at the Father and the Son, you would be able to see a certain characteristic. A son and a daughter. Right? Certain character that comes with it, that likeness. Okay. So God models for us and helps us to see, as we are placed in families, how, you know, He has made us in this way. Right. And thirdly, the nourishing and the grooming. The Father has a hope for the Son. Right? Every father has an aspiration. What he would like his son and his daughter to be. You have an aspiration, how you want to bring up your children. Okay. And the Lord wants us to see a perspective of how the Heavenly Father nourishes His children, right? He nourishes and grooms you to spiritual maturity while you're on earth. So there is that relationship that we have here on earth that God wants us to see, right, by the families that He places us in. Right? And it typifies our Heavenly Father maturing us spiritually. And so, you know, we have a role to play, right, towards our children. And then we want to look at the marriage relationship, the relationship between the husband and the wife. Now, why is the relationship between the husband and the wife special? Well, this marriage relationship, the Bible portrays it as the relationship between Christ and the church. We are called the body of Christ. What does it mean? You know that Eve was taken out of the body of Adam. Right? Eve was not made from the dust of the ground. Eve was taken out of the body of Adam. Very close. They are one body, one flesh. And so the Lord wants us to see and understand that relationship, because there is an eternal relationship that we have with Christ in eternity that He wants us to see. And it's portrayed in the marriage relationship between the husband and the wife. Right? The Bible tells us in Genesis 2:18, the Lord said it is not good. After He has created everything, right? He said it was very good at the end of Genesis chapter 1, the sixth day. Then in the seventh day, or then in Genesis chapter 2, He zooms in, right, to the creation of man, and He tells us why He made a helpmeet for Adam. Now, there's something that we want us to see and understand, right? The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made He a woman and brought her unto the man. And the woman said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." She's called a woman because she was taken out of men. Now we're going to explore this, right, this marriage relationship. What is that link that that the Lord wants us to see in perspective in eternity? Right. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. They will be one flesh. They will become one body because they were from one body. The Lord wants us to understand that togetherness in the husband-wife relationship. It is a most unified union among all relationships. The husband and wife relationship takes priority. And, you know, we are all placed in a family. And we all are able to see that relationship between the husband and the wife as children, right? You see your father and you see your mother in their relationship one with another, right? And as parents, right, you see the relationship between parents with the children, right? The interaction. So the Lord wants us to see, right, a perspective of that togetherness between the husband and wife relationship. And you know, how that union, if it's to break, right, how damaging it is. Because they are one body. Jesus says, in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. In the Jewish tradition, the parents of the bride and the groom come together and negotiate. Right? They talk about their children, right? Their son and their daughter coming into this marriage agreement. And the bride and the bridegroom has to propose to the bride, right, by offering a cup of wine to the bride. Right? It is a covenant to marry her. Right? If the bride agrees, then she would receive the cup and then she would drink it. Right? She disagrees, she would not drink it. And the Lord wants us to see, right, that when the bridegroom, when the bride agrees to that union, right, the bridegroom would go and prepare a wedding chamber, right, for that marriage. And when the wedding chamber is ready, right, the bride would come, the bridegroom would come to receive the bride. Right? It's a picture of what Christ would be coming when he returns to receive the church as his bride. Right? So, you know, that union between the husband and the wife, between Christ and the church, which Jesus portrayed, the Lord wants us to see, because that would be that union in eternity between Christ and the church, between the Father and the Son. Right? So when we have this earthly relationship, relationship between the husband and the wife, the Lord wants us to see an eternal perspective of our eternal relationship. Right? John said in the last chapters of the book of Revelation, he says, I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now Christ is the bridegroom, coming to receive his church, the bride. Right. And, you know, we are going to talk about it in our last message, how that would be the epitome of relationships, right? When the church, the body of Christ, right, comes, that holy city, the new Jerusalem, comes out of heaven, right? And, you know, God is going to create the new heavens and the new earth, and the new heaven and new earth, and the church is going to occupy this new heaven and new earth. Very interesting. Just as first God first created the universe. Remember when God created the universe, he made it such a beautiful paradise. And he made it for man to enjoy. You ever realize that you are the only creatures in the world that can appreciate beauty? Right? The animals can't appreciate the beautiful mountains, you know, the beautiful sceneries. Right? We appreciate the animals. We appreciate the created world. Right? And we're going to talk about it. Why is it that God gives us families? So that we together may be able to worship that one God who has created everything for us. And he's going to create everything anew. And we're going to talk about that new Jerusalem. How your life here would affect what will be in eternity. Have you ever wondered why, you know, Revelation 21 describes all the shining stones? Beautiful stones? We're going to talk about it. Very wonderful.
There is a biblical perspective to this that the Lord wants us to see and know. And so the Apostle Paul talked about the marriage relationship, how he described it between the Christ and the church. What did he say? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. The Lord wants us to go deeper and see that relationship. And we can see it. We are modeling that relationship every day as in a family. You look at your father and your mother. Well, that's the relationship that Christ used to portray our relationship in eternity. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ, and let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Oh, there is that correlation. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. How that relationship between the husband and the wife is a portrayal of that eternal, of that relationship that Christ has with us. How Christ gave himself for the church. And how it sanctifies and cleanses it. How the husband, right, nourishes, helps the wife to grow. And that's a perspective that the Lord wants us to see as the head of the family. That it may present, that it might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Very interesting. Why did the Lord use that analogy? And how is it that that analogy is a picture of heaven, that relationship in heaven? Very. Have you ever wondered all these things? Well, the Lord wants us to see that the marriage is for life, that relationship with Christ that we have is for eternity, that cleaving together. There is that unseen emotion and bonding. Right, the modern concept of marriage is pure enjoyment. But God wants us to see a deeper perspective of the marriage relationship. The relationship that we have with Christ. Right, that union comes with a commitment. And it is a commitment so that we will not break it. And that union is unique. Why? The Bible teaches monogamy, not polygamy. You cannot cleave with multiple parties. In the eyes of lovers, they cannot tolerate even a grain of sand, the saying goes. The relationship is jealously guarded. That the relationship between us and Christ, how it is that relationship that, you know, surpasses all relationships in the world. And the Lord uses the husband-wife relationship to model the relationship that we have with Christ. We cannot allow our love to be shared with another party. How it is an undivided love. Right? Our affection for the Lord. He bought us with a price. And so we want us to be able to see, and we'll be going through a little bit more tomorrow, that cleaving together. If you have understood God's design for the cleaving together of the husband and wife, then you'd be able to understand why is it that when husband and wives break up, it is so painful. Because husband and wife, you know, when they choose to go apart, they have not understood the meaning of this cleaving together that God has for the husband and wife in his union. And there are pertinent lessons for us to learn on earth. concerning these relationships with a perspective for eternity. And so we spoke up to now concerning the institution of the family. Right? We are in a father-son relationship. All of us are in that relationship. You don't come about without a physical parent on earth. And how, you know, it tells us about existence. It tells us about likeness. It tells us about nourishing and grooming. Right? That relationship for eternity, what God is doing now, and what God will do in eternity for us. And the husband and wife relationship between Christ and the church. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, if you have understood the teachings concerning the word of God, it is likened unto building a house upon a rock. When the storm comes, the wind blows, it will not fall. But if you know, we were to spurn the teachings of God's word, to understand the perspective of the marriage relationship, the parent-child relationship, what is it that God has for us to learn? Now and for eternity, then we would, you know, be building our family upon solid foundation. The Lord wants us to see the eternal perspective. The Bible says that the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. Great was the fall of it. If you have not understood the principles by which God instituted the family and the home, then we would not be able to understand in perspective what it will be in eternity. And if you do not understand, then, you know, that relationship today, you'll find that you'll be trudging along, not knowing what to do. What is the significance of what? You know, what you are doing. Right? So we're going to spend time to help us to be able to see and learn that relationship in heaven. How this earthly life is a training ground for the heavenly life. How this earthly life is simply a temporary sojourn. And the Lord wants us to see the eternal perspective, so that those who have gone before us, you know that they are in a better place. Wonderful. And we'll be going there too. And this world, you know, is not such a place that we want to cling on to for this life. And, you know, for those who suffer in this life, those who are in affliction, you realize that all this is temporary, temporal. But there is a permanent home that God would build for us. And these are modeled in our family relationships. The husband and wife relationship, the father and children relationship. And we shall be speaking more about this, right, this perspective in the next few days. So this is a heavenly perspective. And then we are going to give you the earthly perspective over here, right? And then we are going back to the heavenly perspective again. So what you do here matters here. All right. But you have to first understand what is God doing here, so that you will know what to do here. Because you will be here in eternity. Alright? So, there is a picture that God wants us to see. And we hope that we would all learn well and know what we are doing as father and mother, as children with our parents. You know, we know what to do, how to act in that relationship between the children and the parents, the father and the mother, husband and the wife. May the Lord give us perspective. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for showing to us the relationships that we have in earthly homes, earthly families, with the eternal relationships that we would have in heaven. The marriage relationship, the father and son relationship. Why is it that we are placed in such a system? Oh God, help us to see and understand the eternal perspective so that we may know how we ought to behave, how we ought to live to thy honor and glory as children, as father, as mother, as husband and wife. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.